right through on that you're saved, you study, you share, you shun the worldly things. We've come all the way down, and now we're going to the Beatitudes. And you'll see when you read here, I like to listen to Adrian Rogers on the Beatitudes, the keys of the Beatitudes. I like his take on it. Beatitudes is nothing more than an attitude of a believer. It's what your attitude should be as a believer tonight. Matthew chapter number 5. We're going to begin reading verse number 1. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word tonight. Matthew chapter number 5, and we're going to begin reading verse number 1. And for the next few weeks, we'll be talking about the attitude of a believer. And the Bible says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Let us pray. Father, I love you and I praise you and I glorify you for this night. Lord, I do thank you, as Brother Tony said. I do thank you that, Father, I am able to stand up here tonight and just proclaim your word and do a Bible study tonight. Father, what a blessing that is. Lord, I pray that my attitude be correct in the sight of Almighty God, in sight of you, Father, tonight. Lord God, I pray that my attitude be right tonight, Father, when the Spirit moves on me, Father. Lord, I pray I be not arrogant. I pray I be not nothing but humble in your spirit. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you tonight. I thank you for this time. Lord, I pray you bless everyone that come out tonight. Be with Sister Denise as she goes tomorrow for her outpatient surgery. Lord, I pray you touch her in a mighty way. Lord God, I pray tonight for Edward Sawyers as he go tomorrow, Father, for the procedure he's got going on, Father. Lord, I pray you touch. Lord, I pray for Brother Randall Moore as he has to have his abrasion. Lord, I ask you to touch him in a mighty way. Father, there's just requests all over this room. And you know, Father, I pray you touch Sister Tony's sister that has a pneumonia. Lord, I pray you touch her, help her. Lord God, just have your will and way. Father, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you. Be with all of our teachers tonight that's over in the other building with them kids. Lord, I pray tonight you give them patience, Lord God. Give them a meekness tonight, Father, just to be able to teach your kids about the word tonight, about you. Father, I love you and I praise you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come, we'll talk about the attitude of a believer tonight. And an attitude that would be this. The first one that Jesus Christ, when he sat down and he opened his mouth and he started talking to his disciples, he talked about being poor in spirit. Being poor in spirit. The key verse to memorize would be this, Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 3. If you have a pen, I would love for you to underline this on your paper. This is going to be very key. I did not do this for you, but it's very key for you to understand the Beatitudes. The Bible says, blessed are. Underline that word, are. Blessed are. Blessed are. Blessed are. Every one of them, you see the Beatitudes, blessed are. You're already saved. Now you're blessed. You're blessed because you're saved. And blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is, underline that word is, blessed are and is the kingdom of heaven. So tonight, to memorize means to know, to learn, and to keep forever. But the word blessed here all the way throughout the Beatitudes is going to be the word happy. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus sat down to teach his disciples, he taught them how their attitude should be. When he sat down, he done called these men. He done called them to be disciples. He done called them to follow. He done called them to be to follow him everywhere he went. And now he is sitting down and he's going to teach them. And he's teaching them this lesson. Beatitudes means how our attitude should be. The Beatitudes don't show a person how to be saved. I want to stop right there. You can be saved through the Beatitudes by reading them and studying them. But I want you to know that they don't show you how to be saved. Rather, it shows you and I the characteristics of a person who is saved.
Jesus starts with poor in spirit. That don't mean that you're poor and that you have no money physically. That don't mean that. That don't mean you should sell, as Adrian Rogers said, everything you got and just be a poor Christian. He says that our spirit ought to be poor. We ought to know in spirit that we're nothing without Christ Jesus. A person, get this tonight, a person can brag in the flesh, but not in the spirit. A person can brag they got a nicer car, they got a nicer home, they got a better job, they got this, they got nicer clothes. They got a lot of things they can brag about in the flesh. But when you get down to the spirit, not one person has got anything to brag about outside of Jesus Christ. Every person is bankrupt, poor, and has nothing to brag about in their spirit tonight. We have a broken spirit, and without the blood of Jesus Christ, we still have that broken spirit tonight. But by His blood, by His death on the cross, when we ask Jesus to come into our life, we have a righteous state with God Almighty. We have nothing to brag about but Jesus Christ. So tonight, I want to quote Adrian Rogers. I'm talking about verbatim. Here's what he said. Adrian Rogers said, "I'd rather be in heaven saying my ABCs than in hell spouting philosophy." That is good. There is a lot of folks don't know a lot about Jesus Christ that is born again. And there's a lot of folks that know a lot of philosophy that has no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe that 100%. You don't have to hold and know the whole Bible to be saved. You have to know the author of the book to be born again and to be saved. And tonight I want you to get this. Poor in spirit means they have a humble spirit. That individual knows that without Jesus Christ, that they are nothing. You say, "Preacher, why are we going back to this?" Because that's the first thing that Jesus taught His disciples, is that they had to be poor in spirit. They had to rely on Him, that they had nothing good in them without Jesus Christ. Poor in spirit means they have a humble spirit and not a haughty spirit. I wrote that down. And the word haughty means this: they don't have an arrogant spirit about them when it comes to spiritual things. They don't want to be the one that's always seen. They'd rather have a seat in the back than a seat in the front. They'd rather not be seen than be seen. And tonight, why be poor in the spirit? Why do we not, we don't want an arrogant spirit about us? You'll never lead nobody to Jesus having an arrogant spirit. Having a humble spirit and knowing, hey, that without Jesus Christ, I am of no value. I am no good. I'm nothing but a filthy sinner without Jesus Christ. But His blood tonight makes me new in Christ Jesus. And here's what, when I got into the Beatitudes, I thought about this. What makes somebody realize that they're poor in spirit? What have they seen? What have they noticed? And I'll give you a few things that the Lord has impressed on my heart. Number one, they have acknowledged their sin. An individual that is saved, but they're still poor in spirit, they have acknowledged their sin. They know this. You say, "Preacher, what have they acknowledged?" They know that in the spirit, they always come up short without Jesus Christ. They always come up short. There's nothing good in them. They can't rise up enough. They can't pump up enough. They can't get enough to come up in. Now, I know some folks, they think when they show up, and I've been around some preachers, they think when they show up, business is fixing to pick up. They think when they get behind the pulpit, people are fixing to get saved. They think when they get by, but that is not what it is. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about His blood. It's about His righteousness. And we must be poor in spirit and say, "God, if You don't show up, nothing's going to happen." Amen. God, You've got to show up. We've got to see You. We don't need the next best preacher on the scene. We need Jesus Christ on the scene. We need Him to show up. If not, we're going to come up short. Here's what He said. Come up short. They came up short. Romans 3:23. For you to be saved and you to be poor in the spirit, you had to realize, for all have sinned. You had to realize that you were a sinner. There's some people don't believe they're a sinner. There's some people believe they're good old boys, good old girls. They've not done nothing wrong. They've never asked anybody. I know men that I have witnessed to. You listen to me to this tonight. I know men, and they pride themselves on this. They've always paid their bills. They've never been late. They've always been on time. They've never asked nobody for one red cent. They've never asked nobody to buy their food. They've never had to ask anybody to buy clothes for their kids. And they pride themselves in that. And they say, "You tell me that I have to be saved." And I say, "Yes, you have to be, because it ain't what you've done, but it's who you got living inside of you makes the difference." Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We must, to be poor in spirit, you've got to acknowledge, and I've got to acknowledge, that I come up short without Jesus Christ. Not only do I come up short, but without Jesus, I come up broke. short. I'm on the short end without him, but I come up broke without him. You get this tonight. I want you to get this. Romans 6:23. He said, preacher, how do you come up broke? Get this. For the wages of sin. There is a payday to sin. Did you know that? When you sin, there's a payday. For the wages of sin is death. For the wages. Without Christ Jesus, sin only produces death in your life. There's not a person in this room would die physically if it wouldn't for sin. You would never be put 6 foot in the ground if it wasn't for sin. Sin is what brings death to your life. It's what brings death to my life. The reason we die is because there was sin. Sin causes death. For the wages of sin is death. Now, we all know if he don't come and rapture the church and take us out, that we're all going to die one day physically. But we don't have to die spiritually. Amen? And that's what we talk about every time we come in here. We know we're going to die physically one day, but we don't have to die spiritually. They came up short. They come up broke. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, and we know that tonight, that gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. They acknowledged their sin. They came up short. They came up broke. And without Jesus, we come up filthy. Listen to this tonight. Not only are you short, not only are you broke, but without Jesus, now that's a humble spirit. You know there ain't nothing you can do good enough without Jesus Christ, and you come up filthy. I know a lot of people that does a lot of good deeds and a lot of good works, but if Jesus ain't in it, you can help all you want to help, and it ain't worth nothing. Folks, tonight, Jesus has got to be the center of everything we do, everything that goes on around here. Them kids that are getting fed over there, not only spiritually, but physical food. What are we trying to do? We're trying to show them Jesus Christ. We're trying to show them the love of Christ. And we know tonight that in Isaiah 64:6, we quote this all the time around here, but we're all as unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. The best I can do is a filthy rag in the sight of Almighty God. My righteousness won't get me nowhere. Hello, talk to me, somebody. My righteousness won't get me anywhere. It won't even, I won't even get a step toward heaven if I'm counting my righteousness. But we're all as unclean things, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So you say, preacher, tonight, to have a humble spirit, what is that? Number one, you got to acknowledge the sin. You got to acknowledge sin. And what sin is. Number two, they have acknowledged their situation. Not only sin, but the situation that they're in. Let me give you this tonight. The prodigal son in Luke 15:18. You remember the prodigal son? Luke 15:12, he went to his daddy. He said, give me what's mine. And you know what he did? He took off and he left and he went to a foreign country. Then he went and he spent all that he had. He went out there and he lived it up. He had a heyday. When he got away from the father, everything started coming unraveled. When he got away from the father, everything came undone. When he got away from the father, his life was a mess. It was a wreck. And he was eating with the pigs. He was eating with the swine. And he was eating the husk that would fill his belly. But he said he came to himself. Friends, I want you to know, not only you got to acknowledge your sin to get humble, but you got to acknowledge your situation that you're in to get humble. Get this tonight. In Luke 15:18, he says, I will arise. Here's what the prodigal said. I will arise. Well, the father, listen, the father's sitting there waiting, but it's up to you to get up and go. Come on, talk to me, somebody. The father is always willing, but it's up to you and it's up to me to get up and go. He said, I will arise and go to my father. He said, I'm going to go to my father. He not only knew his sin, but he knew the situation he was in. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Friends, tonight, can I say, to be poor in spirit, that man got all his inheritance. He thought everything was owed to him. He thought, when he said, hey, he's going to die one day anyway, I might as well go ahead and get my inheritance now. Friends, I'm telling you tonight, if you're waiting on an inheritance in this side, it won't do you a bit of good. You're going to leave it behind. You will not carry it with you. You better be looking for an inheritance over there. Hello? Amen? You better be looking for one laid up over there. I don't care what people leaves you on this side of eternity. If this is all they left you, it won't do you a bit of good. It's going to burn up. It's going to waste. It's going to be of no good. You said, preacher, I don't know about that. If I've been left hundreds of thousands of dollars without Jesus, you're still bankrupt. You can have a bank full of money, but without Jesus. I know a lot of rich folk that ain't happy. You look at their life and the life they live, they're not happy. They're buying, and they're never satisfied with what they got. And they're buying, trying to get more, and they're never happy with what they got. Why? Because they're missing something deep down inside. And I'd almost bet to tell you, they're missing a relationship with Jesus Christ. folks, I'm telling you tonight, when you get a relationship with Jesus Christ, it ain't what more out of you get. You realize you've got all you need in Jesus. Tonight, he said this, that the prodigal, he had all he needed at home. But when he got away from the Father, he didn't have nothing. Folks, tonight, you stay with the Father, and you got all you need tonight. Not only him, but think about David in Psalm 51. Not only he acknowledged his sin, but he acknowledged his situation. He acknowledged the situation that he's in. He acknowledged his situation, and he knew being apart from God and being away from God, he was in trouble. You're talking about a humble spirit. I'm talking about you are in trouble if you don't have a humble spirit tonight. You can't make it add up. You can't make it work without Jesus. He said, preacher, a lot of lost folks are getting ahead. They're making it work. No, they ain't. They looks like it. All you see is what's on the outside. You don't see what's on the inside. Turmoil. All kind of things blowing up on the inside. Tonight, I want to tell you, when you got Jesus, you got a peace on the inside. Address their situation. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge their sin. Acknowledge their situation. Let me show you this. Not only the prodigal did, but David did. David did. Psalm 51, I believe it's verse number 3. I'll get back up there in a minute, but here's what David did. David, man, he had done got way away from who? The Father. He done got away where he wasn't supposed to be. No longer did he have a humble spirit, but he had a haughty spirit, arrogant spirit. He was king. He said, I'll do what I want to do. Nobody tells me what to do. What do you think about you see on the TV all the time? You see people in high positions. They get caught doing things that you say, I can't believe they do that. Why do they do that? They done got the position. They didn't think they was under no authority. I do what I want to do. I'm not going to get in trouble. I steal where I want to steal. I cheat who I want to cheat. I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm above the law. When you think you're above the law, guess what? God will put you back under the law. Folks, tonight, I want you to get this. David knew that better than anybody. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. What a man soweth, he shall also reap. Let me give you this right here, the situation David was in. Psalm 51. I want to show you this tonight. Psalm 51 in verse 3 and 4. Here's what David said. You're talking about somebody acknowledge their sin and their situation. Here's what David said. You're talking about being humble. He was king, and now he's going back before God. I'm talking about king. He said, you take Uriah, take him out there and kill him. Kill him. He had a man killed, murdered. And now here he is. He ain't got a bit of peace, Brother Jerry. Nathan's went to him, told him, said, you're the man. You're the man. You are the man. You're the one got the sin in your life. And here he is. He's king. He could have killed the prophet, Nathan. He could have. He could have had him killed. But he couldn't touch God's anointing. Oh, glory, hallelujah. So here's what he did. He had a choice. He could either get right or get gone. What did he do? He fell under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I got to get this thing right. Folks, I believe that's what's wrong with a lot of folks. We have no humble spirit about us. Hey, God's not going to get me through that. God don't. He's a loving God. He's merciful. He forgives. He does. If you ask. If you ask, he forgives. You don't ask, there's no forgiveness. That thing's going to, look what he says here. David says this to God. Here's what David said to God. For I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. He said, what I've done is wrong, and I know it. You're talking about a man got a humble spirit. He didn't get saved again. He didn't get saved again. He repented. He just said, Lord, I'm in the wrong, and I need to get in the right. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. That's when the rubber meets the road, when you ain't worried about what people think, but you're worried about what God thinks. Brother John, can I get an amen? When you're worried about what God thinks, you ain't worried about what man thinks, you're worried about what God thinks, and somebody is beating on the inside of you, wearing you out, and you saying, what in the world is going on? Man, everything seems good, but what's going on? That's that Holy Spirit wearing you out, wearing me out. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speak and be clear when thou judgest. He said, I've acknowledged my sin. I've acknowledged my situation. That's humble. You've got to be humble. You've got to have a humble spirit to acknowledge your sin. You've got to have a humble spirit to acknowledge the situation that you're in and that you sin before God. You and I wrote this down on the paper. You and I know our situation. We know. You've heard enough preaching in here. It ain't nobody under the sound of my voice got any excuse to be lost today. You've not got one excuse to be lost. There's not nobody in here got one excuse to go to hell. You've heard enough preaching in this place, not from me, but from preachers past, the preachers now, and preachers will, but you've heard enough preaching. Ain't nobody got an excuse when you go to hell. I'm telling you, if you die and go to hell, the blood ain't on my hand. I told you all I can tell you. I tell the Sunday morning crowd, I've told all. And that's on my heart, folks. That's on my heart. Man, listen to me tonight. For all, Romans 6:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They acknowledge their sin, humble spirit, poor in spirit. They acknowledge their sin, they acknowledge their situation, and they have acknowledged their Savior. They've done something about it. They've done something about it. They've done something about it. Have you done something about it in your life? You know? Have you done something about it in your life? I'm ready, preacher. If I leave tomorrow, I'm ready. I know I'm poor in spirit. I know I'm bankrupt without Jesus Christ. Job 19:25 says, "For I know." Job didn't say, "I think I might." Job didn't say, "I think I might mustered it up." Amen. Job said, "For I know." That's why we get a bad name as Baptists, because we know when we leave this walk alive, heaven's our home. Amen. Because we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We've humbled ourselves. We've acknowledged our sin. We've acknowledged the situation. And we have acknowledged the Savior. Job 19:25 says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." How is Job in the Old Testament, the oldest book in the Old Testament, how can that be? And he knows that Jesus Christ is going to stand at the latter day by faith. By faith. Romans 10:9, you say, how do I acknowledge my Savior? How do I get a humble spirit? There's nobody in this room got it any other way but by acknowledging the sin, the situation in your Savior. Romans 10:9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. I'll tell you all this. Make sure I ain't running out of time. Man, I always get close to the end. What I always do, always as pastor, when somebody gets saved with the Lord, they get right with the Lord, they get saved, they get born again, they have a right fellowship with God, they've made things right, and they've let God come into their life. I always say this. I say, they say, what I need to do now? And I say this. I say, listen, here's what you need to do. You need to go for the church. You need to confess it. Broken lives. Brother Brad, broken lives, what do we do every time? We don't know them. Yeah, we don't know them men, but we make them stand up in front of everybody over there and say, hey, yes, I got born again. Brother Tony, is that not the truth? We even make them men. We don't know them from Adam's house cat, but we make them do the same thing. We have to confess, okay? When somebody gets saved, they say, what now? Well, we're going to bring you for the church. I don't want to go for the church. I don't want nobody to know. Here's what I tell them. Well, you didn't get saved. If you're ashamed of him, you didn't get saved. There ought to be something beating inside of you so hard that you don't care who knows it. Now, you may be shy. Now, people may be shy now. Now, I understand that. I said, you ain't got to say a word. You just got to stand up there and say, yeah, I did. I've had people stand up here that couldn't audible a word. They just so shaken. But they knew something happened on the inside. They stand up and say, did you get born again? Yes. 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 What did that mean? They confessed it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You say, preacher, that ain't, why? Here's why. Because you need that confession in your life. You need to be able to stand up and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he bled and died on an old rugged cross. I believe he was put in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day he rose again. When you say, I've got saved, that's what you're saying when you say yes to it. That's why we do what we do. I can't tell you how many people that said they've got saved, and I say, you need to come for the church, and they say, I won't do it. I said, you need to come on up for the church. You need to let the church know. You need to let your family know. You need to let somebody know. They won't do it. They will not do it. Beg them. I'm talking about on my knees. Beg, please. No. No. Preacher, what do you think? It's not none of my business. But if a man died for me, I'd let everybody know it. You say, well, that's because you're a preacher. Oh, no, that day I got saved. I'm telling you what. I started letting the world know, Brother Brad. I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge my situation. I acknowledge he is my Savior. And I'm not ashamed. I'm telling you today, I'm not saying this because we're in a church in front of y'all. I'd say it in front of anybody. I don't care where I go or who I stand in front of. You listen to me. I will not be ashamed of him. I cannot be ashamed of him. I cannot be ashamed. He has done too much for me. I am bankrupt spiritually without him. I am bankrupt spiritually without him. With him makes all the difference. You say, well, that's being arrogant. No, that's not. That's having a humble spirit say, I'm telling you, without him, I'm nothing. Without him, I am nothing. You say, preacher, are you ashamed of it? I'm not ashamed of it. Have a humble spirit. Not only the Savior, but thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. You shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead. shall be saved. Is it that simple? I promise you, it is that simple. It's that easy. When you say, Lord, it's yours. I'm done. I'm done. I ain't running no more. It's over. I surrender. I surrender all. Let me show you the last thing, though, that I believe that the Bible teaches us about a humble spirit. About a humble spirit. Look with me here on the paper. I want to show you this humble spirit. He says, I want to go back to verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And they have acknowledged their salvation. Not only they've acknowledged the Savior and confessed that He is theirs, but they've acknowledged their salvation. And here's what I'm talking about when I mean humble in spirit. John 4:22, the Bible says, and Jesus, I quote, says, you worship, you know not what. You have no clue. There's some people who have no clue who they worship. They come to church on Sunday, different churches, they have no clue who they worship. They just get in line and worship with everybody else. Huh? Think about it. I want to know who I'm worshiping. Brother Dave Barnes, I want to know who I'm worshiping. I want to know I ain't worshiping the preacher. I want to know I ain't worshiping a group of deacons, Sunday school teachers. I want to know that I'm worshiping the true one God, the living God. That's who I want to know I'm worshiping. Here's what he said. He told him. He said, you worship, you know not what. You don't have a clue what you worship. We know what we worship. We know he's a living Savior. For salvation is of the Jews. So we know where our salvation's come from. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. We know tonight. We have a humble spirit. We know neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. You believe that tonight, that there's no other name but the name of Jesus. Amen. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to leave you with this tonight. Our attitude should always be one that knows we are poor in spirit. Our attitude ought to be tonight that we always know that we're poor in spirit without Jesus Christ. That we're poor in spirit. If I walk around with a very haughty spirit, very arrogant spirit spiritually, and I think I can do it on my own, why would the Holy Spirit show up to help me? I mean, if I got it, get it. You know what I'm saying? Hey, when Kaylee tells me, Daddy, I got it. Okay, get it. I take my hand, get it. You want it, get it. Is that not how y'all daddies are? When they say, hey, I got this. Okay, get it. She called me the other day. I said, baby, you want me to get your gas in your car? In the car? She said, I got it. I said, okay. And I can't remember what church member I was with, but they's in here, they didn't know. She called me. I said, hello? Daddy, what is wrong with this car? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, listen. Click, 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 click. I said, baby, you turned the gas cap the wrong way. Daddy, I am not turning the gas cap the wrong way. I said, baby, are you turning it to the right or are you turning it to the left? I'm turning it to the right, and it keeps going click, 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 click. I said, yes, baby. I won't let you get no tighter. If you'll go back to the left, that thing will come off there. I'll let you go. She told me she had it. Is that not how we are? We tell God we got it. And he says, okay, you got it, you get it. You got it, you get it. You think you know best. And by the way, you think you're the Savior of the world. You think you're the one doing this. You go take it. Get you all you want of it. And it won't be long. We'll be like the prodigal. We'll come back, tail tucked. Lord, I have sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. And I'm no good worthy to be called. All I want to be is a servant. All I want to be, you know what he says? He says, come on in here. Come on. He start cleaning you up. Been out there all beat up, battered up. It's like you've been in a fight. All bruised up. And he brings you back in, loves on you. Gets you back where he needs to be. Humbles you back down. Ain't nothing like humble pie. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The other night, me and Brandy sitting there, and I've told her many times, I said, if that was my kid talking about another kid, y'all know, I said, I'd be like fire under his tail. Come on, y'all, don't just sit there. Come on. Don't act like y'all all spiritual. Y'all seen kids, you was like, if I got it, if that's my boy, I'd like fire under his. He wouldn't do that mess around my house. Last night, you know what she told me? She said, I can't believe we the parents got one of them. I can't believe we the parents got one of them. The other night, night was sitting in the house, and my belt was laying there. He walked over and he said, "Whoop me with that belt, Daddy." I said, "I'm not whooping you with that belt." He said, "Whoop me, Daddy." So Brandy said, "He bends over, I'm fixing to put it on." He bent that thing, he said, "Hit it, Daddy." And I'm talking about, I'll put a lick on it. He said, "That didn't hurt." And when he walked off, OJ, I thought, how much does Lord have to put on me before I finally say, "That hurts"? How much do I finally got to endure before I finally say, "Father, that's all I can take. Father, that's all I can take. I'm going to humble down. My prideful spirit, that pride that's in me, I want it gone. I don't want to be there. I've had all I can take. Please let me get back under your wings, under your care, under your mercy. Please let me get back under your leadership. Please let me get back to where you want me to be." You know what he does? He lets me get right back under him. Right back under him. I wonder who I'm talking about tonight that says, "Hey, I just need to get back to where God would have me to be. I need to get back with a humble spirit. Let things break my heart." It breaks it. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I bow as humbly as I know how. Lord, there's some of us in this room tonight, including myself. Lord, there's times I get with a prideful spirit. And Lord, I want to run ahead of you, but I don't want to get ahead of you. I want to be behind you. And I ask you tonight to be with this church as a local body. Guard us, guide us, grow us. Do what you want to do in here, Father. Lord, do what you want to do in this place. Lord, I pray tonight that you don't have to get nobody's attention because we think we just, that didn't hurt. Lord, there's some of us in here tonight paying for things that we shouldn't have to be paying for, dealing with things we shouldn't have to be dealing with if we just humble ourselves, get poor in spirit, and let you speak to us tonight. Father, I seen the sister stand up in the back a while ago. Lord, I pray right now whatever her need is, in the name of Jesus, you'd touch it. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you'd help her. Lord, in the throne room of heaven, her secret is out. Lord, I pray you'd touch it. Lord, I pray you'd meet it tonight. Lord, I pray for everyone's in this room. Lord, let us come back.